Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance purpose has been to proclaim Jesus Christ as he brings light into a darkened world. So glad you chose to join us today, and I trust the program will be a blessing to you as you listen to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. It's a very poignant reminder that Jesus Christ could come at any time, and we need to be ready for his appearance. Sung by the Webs, I hope you enjoyed the song, Heavenly Sunrise. I hope you'll take just a few minutes to write us a letter of support during the month of August. This is anniversary month, and I'm offering my hymn album. It has 16 hymns, familiar hymns right out of the hymn book, Living by Faith, Trust and Obey, At Calvary, My Jesus, I Love Thee, Revive Us Again. A total of 16 hymns, and you can have that if you'll just write us and request the hymn album and hopefully enclose a gift to keep this radio program on your station. Well, I'm finishing up Hillcrest Holiness Camp meeting this weekend. August the 11th is when we'll finish that camp and then travel back home and then travel to Mattoon, Illinois, August the 18th to be at the Family Worship Center with Reverend Brian Brown and his people there. Then August 28 to September the 1st, the annual evangelist gathering and camp meeting in Vicksburg, Michigan at the Indian Lake Church of the Nazarene campground and retirement center. So pray for us as we're involved in these meetings. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your love and mercy in our lives. Thank you that we can be ready. We don't have to wonder where we're going to spend eternity. Thankful so much, Father, for the fact that you can give us that assurance that all is well. And should you come or should you call, we are ready to meet you face to face. Thank you for the wonderful plan of redemption. Thank you for the privilege of sharing the message on the lights of spiritual guidance. And I pray that the message would be a blessing as we talk about the day the church disappears. I pray it all in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Again, let me just encourage you to take just a few minutes to write us a letter of support. If you'd like to have the hymn album, just mention that in your letter, and I'll be glad to send it out to you in CD format. Well, may God bless you as you listen to the sermon today and enjoy the music that we have on the program this morning.
A Savior. In times like these, we need an anchor. Be very sure. Be very sure.
Be very sure. about when we talk about the day the church disappears. Who comprises the church? We know it's not a building. We know it's not brick and mortar. So what is this church that's going to disappear one of these days? Well, you go back to the Word of God. This church is made up of people who are spirit born. What do you mean by that? What do you mean spirit born? I'm talking about people who have felt the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. They knew they were sinners. And they knew that they were lost and dying on their way to a Christless eternity. And one day, the Spirit of God was faithful to their soul, and they responded to that wooing of the Holy Spirit. And they recognized they had a spiritual need. They were alienated from God, from Jesus. And they came to that place, and they said, I repent of my sins. I confess my sins. I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died and rose from the grave that I might live and have eternal life. And they, by faith, expressed their belief in Him, and the Spirit of God did the work of redemption in their heart, and they were genuinely born again, life changed, they no longer lived a life of sin and willing disobedience against God. Now they're on a new course, they're following Jesus, born again, a new creation in Christ. Spirit born. You see, it's more than just coming to church. It's more than just identifying with a denomination. It's more than baptism. It's a life identified with the person of Jesus. He forms who we are. He changes the way we live our lives. That in Christ, He might have the preeminence the Bible talks about. Spirit born. The people who make up this church that's going to disappear are not only spirit born, they're spirit baptized. You say, well, Lane, what do you mean by that? Spirit baptized. Well, you see, the wonderful thing about the redemptive power of our Heavenly Father and the salvation that He put into place when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says that He was slain from the foundation of the world so that you and I might know forgiveness, but not only forgiveness, that we might also know freedom from the power and the domination of sin. You see, every one of us, even after we're born again, there still remains in each of us a power, a bent to doing that which is wrong. The Bible calls it the carnal nature. And that has to be dealt with. Because unless it is dealt with, even though you may confess your sins, there will continue to be inside of you that power that seeks authority in your life that will cause you to go away from the salvation that you've experienced in Jesus Christ. So spirit baptized, we simply mean you must come. And as Paul put it in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself a living sacrifice. You say it's one thing to have your sins forgiven. It's another thing entirely to give Him your life. He doesn't want just your sins. He wants your life. Present yourself a living sacrifice. Spirit baptized. Jesus again confirms it with His own words. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, He says, blessed are the pure in heart. Pure in heart. Not just forgiven of sins, but pure in heart. For they shall see God. Only the pure in heart will see God. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and be holy. Because without holiness, no one will even get to see you. So you see, it's more than just coming and confessing, which is good, and we don't minimize that. It's also coming to that place of absolute unconditional surrender of your life to Him. Those are the kinds of people who make up this church that one of these days will disappear from the face of the earth. Dr. H.C. Morrison was a great Methodist evangelist back in another generation. And one day he went into the store not far from where he lived. And when he walked into the store, he knew the storekeeper, and the storekeeper knew Dr. Morrison, of course, and he knew that Dr. Morrison was a preacher, and Dr. Morrison knew that the storekeeper was not a Christian. And so when he walked in the store that particular day, the storekeeper said, "Hey, preacher, how much religion am I going to have to make it to heaven?" And Dr. Morrison said this, "Just enough to make you comfortable in the presence of Jesus." That's the question, isn't it? Do we have enough to make us comfortable in the presence of Jesus? So as I understand the Word of God, those are the characteristics of those who will make up this church that's going to disappear. You say, "All right, Lane, you've given us that explanation. When is this event going to take place? When will the church of Jesus Christ disappear from the face of the earth?" We've heard about the signs that lead us to believe that we're on the cusp of that. But exactly when, do you know? Can you give us a date? Well, let's look at what the Bible has to say about that. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. "But about that day or hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken, the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come." Oh, there have been a lot of prognosticators. There have been a lot of prophets who have tried to get you to believe. I remember I was pastoring in Nashville, Tennessee, back in the decade of the 80s. And in 1988, a man came out with a book that said simply this in the title, 88 Reasons Why Jesus Will Come in 1988. He didn't come. So he wrote a sequel, 89 Reasons Why Jesus Will Come in 1989, making a fool of himself, because no one knows the hour nor the day. That's why it's imperative that all of us be ready. We don't know. We're not told when, but we are told to be ready. As a matter of fact, Scripture confirms that. It says, "Be ye therefore ready, for thou knowest not when the Son of Man may come." Be ready. You say, "All right, Lane, you've told us who makes up this church. You've told us that no one really knows when it's going to happen. But can you tell us this? How will it happen? How will this take place? What's the structure of events that will transpire when the church disappears from the face of the earth?" Well, I don't have to tell you from my own knowledge. The Bible gives us that. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, gives us the sequence of events of the disappearance of the church of Jesus. He says, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, those who have already died, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have died, those who have fallen asleep. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep or died. For the Lord himself," here it is, "for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so that we will be the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." Can you imagine this? Our parents died within 2 years of each other, approximately. My dad and my mother are buried in a cemetery on the north side of Greensboro, North Carolina. I've often said, rather facetiously, I wish the Lord would just give me enough time to get to Greensboro before he comes back. I'd like to be at the graveside of my mom and dad's burial plot. I'd like to be there when it happens, just before it happens. Because in my mind, this is how I picture this, this playing out that's been described here in 1 Thessalonians. I see it playing out like this. I see, it says, first of all, the Lord will step down on the clouds. No more forerunner. No John the Baptist this time announcing the coming of the Messiah. Jesus himself in person will step down on the clouds of the morning. The trump of God will sound. And those who believe in a secret rapture, there's nothing secret about any of this. It's all loud. The trump of God, the voice of the archangel. You remember when Jesus came as a babe in a manger? The angel said, announced. And when he comes back a second time, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet call of God. And then the dead in Christ, those who have preceded us in Christ in death, somehow, this is how I picture it happening, somehow, you do know that your loved ones who died in the Lord are not in that casket. Their bodies are, but not their eternal person. It's been stated, don't teach your children that you're a body with a soul. Teach your children that they're a soul that happens to be in a body. That eternal part of you, the moment you die, you're in the presence of Jesus if you know him. But then if you don't, you're in that place of departed spirits, a holding place, waiting for the judgment day. And that's a whole different sermon. But can you imagine what it would be like? When Jesus steps down on the clouds of the morning, the trump of God shall sound, the voice of the archangel, and then that part of my mom and my dad will somehow be reunited with what was once an earthly tabernacle body. And it will be glorified in that moment. And soul and glorified body will be merged and will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That's what it says right here. To meet the Lord in the air. And then those who remain, that's us. I've always hoped and thought that I might be alive when he comes again. I've heard sermons like I'm sharing with you this morning. All of my life, my dad was an evangelist. And I used to hear my dad talk about this, scare the living daylights out of me. Especially if I wasn't ready to meet the Lord. And I'm not here to scare you today. I'm just here to help you get ready. Because it's going to happen. You'll either be caught up first because you went on by way of the grave, or you'll be alive and caught up together with them who precede you in death into the air to forever be with the Lord. That at that moment in time when God the Father says, enough, it's time. And Jesus steps down from the throne where he's been sitting beside his heavenly Father, interceding for you and me. And that comes to an end, and he says, it's time. He steps out of the throne, and he steps down on the clouds of the morning. I believe it'll happen. The decision will be made, and then in the twinkling of an eye, it starts. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with the immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with the immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death is swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God. He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to happen. One day, the church will disappear.
Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I do hope you'll find a place to worship, and if you live near any of the following churches, I know you would be welcome. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church, Willow Springs, or Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity. Here in the state of Indiana, where this program is produced, in the city of Columbus, Indiana, I know you would be welcome at Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, or Flintwood Wesleyan Church. And in the state of Ohio, I know you would be welcome in the city of Fostoria, Ohio, at Trinity United Brethren Church. Hope you'll take time to write us a letter of support. It would mean so much. You could write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or PayPal tag there. I hope you'll tune in next week at this same time, and in the meantime, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.